Doug Vermeeren is an entrepreneur and the producer and director of the new film, When Thoughts Become Things. Now, this film explores how people can make their dreams become reality through something called the law of attraction. And he says that, especially when it comes to COVID-19, to social unrest, and many of the other problems we face today, our fears create more challenges for us than the problems do themselves. I'm talking today to Doug Vermeeren. What a time to discuss all of this with you in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, it has been pretty crazy.
Why do you say that people's fears create more problems than the problems themselves?
It's really interesting because I was actually chatting with a friend of mine, funny enough, who's 87 years old. And I'm a really big fan of the idea that, or this saying that says, old eyes see clearest. You know, he's had enough life experience to see so many things at home. One of the things that he mentioned is obviously with the health condition of COVID being so dangerous and the challenge that it is, the bigger danger is what we're actually creating in terms of a future, meaning in terms of we're creating a future based on fear, on difficulty, on becoming paralyzed in the way that we're looking at things, and in some cases we're becoming hopeless. And here's the one lesson that I learned as I interviewed more than 400 of the world's top achievers. Coming from a place of fear, a decision based on fear, never create a position of power. And right now we're really, you know, everything that we're doing is in a responsive, reactive, fearful mode. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to create a lot of great circumstances for a lot of people. And some families have even already realized that as their incomes have dropped, right?
Yeah. Fear seems to put us, or our whole lives are on pause. How do you, Doug, think we overcome negative thinking?
We don't necessarily want to overcome negative thinking because negative thinking to some degree actually is a blessing to us and it's part of being human. And I think this is one of the big challenges that a lot of people who are involved in trying to get to their goals and personal development, these things that really kind of have a wrong answer here. The truth is when thoughts arrive, they arrive always in a positive and a negative. They arrive as a dual. So in other words, if you've got this great idea saying, hey, you can do it. Well, right behind it is the idea of, no, you're not enough, you know, you're not capable, etc. And so really the truth is not learning how to overcome negative thinking, but to learn where its place is. And the greatest power that we can kind of have to really getting negative thinking sorted out correctly in our lives is to really understand that our negative thinking really also receives power from the programming that we have and the people that we surround ourselves with and what we believe is possible. And that's really what creates the story around that negative thinking, and that's what makes it more potent. So that's the real danger of it, is that we give it power.
I got that. But don't you think that some people are just more positive than other people? A lot of people call me a Pollyanna because I always tend to look on the bright side, but I do tend to see things in a more positive light than many others around me.
And I would agree. And I think that really positivity and looking at things with a proper or optimistic outlook is definitely a learned activity. It's not something that people are automatically born with. And a lot of times, you know, again, it's something that we do consciously as a choice. We make that choice that we are going to look at things differently than other people. But here's the thing that's kind of interesting. When I was out doing my research with the 400 of the world's top achievers, I ran into the saying that many people have heard that says that happiness is a choice. And we've all heard that before. But what I want to suggest is that happiness is not just a choice, because there's a lot of choices that we make in life that don't always lead to the best circumstances. In fact, one time I spoke at a prison in North Carolina, and those people there all felt they made good choices. Of course, what they created did not give them the outcomes that they wanted. And so it was really important to understand, even at that circumstance, that what really happiness is by definition. Happiness is making a choice, but being pleased with the consequences that follow. And when we have that perception of what the consequences are that we really want, I think it's a lot easier to think positively. I think it's a lot easier to think more intentionally and with purpose. But when we're just kind of muddling around and we don't really have any, how should we say, divine destiny for who we want to become or what we're going to do, well, things don't really matter as much, right? There's not as big of an impact for ourselves. So I think that that's a really important part of thinking positive.
What would you say is the biggest challenge that most people have with their thoughts?
I think one of the first things that most people struggle with is they're on automatic pilot. You know, thoughts, the truth is are reactionary, right? We respond to what, you know, is going on in our environment. We respond to a stimulus. But those people who don't make a decision ahead of time on what they're going to do in certain circumstances generally fall victim to whatever is going on in the moment. Someone comes in and says, hey, can you help me move today? Well, we don't really have any kind of boundaries around ourselves, so we always let someone else's fire become our emergency. And we do that not just with people, but with all things. But the moment that we kind of decide ahead of time what we want and start getting clarity around the things that we want, then we can start really recognizing and seeing evidence to support that. You've heard it said that people generally look for evidence to support what they believe already. And this is the same with all facets. The problem is most people have never taken the time to establish any beliefs in advance. They just kind of roll around and whatever occurs or happens, well, I guess that's what we're doing today. And that's where the real disservice on our thoughts becoming things happens, because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that's what most people do when it comes to their thoughts as well.
I bet a lot of those guys in prison didn't have anything planned and, hey, let's go rob a bank. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, they didn't. In fact, most of them, like I said, made their thoughts from immediate gratification. And so if they had an altercation or a challenge with someone, their coping mechanism was to do what extinguishes that problem immediately. And a lot of times the methods that they used obviously did not, how should we say, they weren't within the boundaries of the law, or they certainly weren't the kindest way to deal with the problem.
A lot of people talk about how that might be an answer to poverty, that if you don't have a dream, you can't claw your way out of poverty. Simplifying, of course. Do you see the law of attraction with having a dream?
Absolutely. But here's another way to look at it. When we talk about poverty, I want to be clear so that the listeners understand. I'm not just talking about money here, right? There are people around the world in certain circumstances or cultures where they don't see the kind of money that we do in North America or even in Europe or elsewhere.
Sure.
So I'm not just talking about money. Our wealth always appears in the form that we value most, regardless of whatever culture we live in. And so if we choose that this is what we find value in, and this is what we find wealth to look like for us in terms of whatever it is, however it is we define it, that's also where we're going to give our energy. You've heard it said that energy goes where attention flows. And I think one of the biggest challenges that a lot of people have when it comes to creating wealth, and again, I'm defining this in my definition of what you value most. So for some people, again, it's going to be financial wealth, prosperity in that way. Other people, it's going to be in terms of the education or family, or you fill in the blank, whatever it could be, right? But the moment that we give those things our greatest attention is the moment that they begin to grow and they begin to multiply and they become something that tangibly begins to take root in our life. And I think that's the important part of, how should we say, creating wealth, is to determine what we value most.
Well, isn't it fortuitous then that we're talking about all of this in this time of such social turmoil?
I definitely do. And you know what? It's not just the turmoil part of things, too. I think it's really interesting because as the film has come out, we've had a lot of conversations with different people around the world in terms of their experiences with our film. And there's one email that really just kind of, it sat heavy with me. It affected me in such a profound way. This young man who was 11 years old sent me a quick note through Instagram. And he said he was so thankful for our film. And his reasoning was, right now, he's got so much fear in his life. He said, you know, I've had bullies at school. I don't know what I'm going to do in my future for school. I don't know what always the teachers want. You know, I don't know what's going on with this COVID thing. And the majority of these conversations so far have been directed towards adults. Nobody's really talked to us kids about how we feel about it. But here I am looking at the people that are supposed to be my role models, and they're terrified.
Wow.
I don't know what to do. And so he said, when I saw the film, he found a lot of really strong power come into his life because of specifically what he was able to see is that fear is something that is a normal response for people. It's something that's kind of a natural response, and it's okay to be afraid, but it's different than being paralyzed by your fear. And then in the film, he also shared some ideas that were helpful for him in terms of how to deal with fear so that it now becomes a power rather than an enemy.
That must have been really powerful hearing from a kid.
Yeah. And you know, the thing that I love about hearing from kids, adults will sometimes tell you what you want to hear. A kid will tell you the truth, whether you like it or not.
I like the comment, a lot of personal development focuses on the idea of do it, just get busy. But the first step is not to do it, but to become, to be it. I love that.
Yeah. As you know, I went out and I interviewed more than 400 of the world's top achievers, top
yes.
business leaders, top athletes, celebrities, like people who'd really achieved great things. And what I found is that a lot of what's taught in personal development today is not correct. It's not correct. you've got a lot of well-meaning coaches and speakers, but they basically are sharing what they've learned in someone else's book. So here's the thing that I discover to be true. Even this idea of taking massive action, you know, you've heard that before. You want to become successful, you've got to take massive action. Well, the truth is that's not true. The truth is you need to take deliberate action. A very specific, focused set of activities are what's going to make you be successful. And so I think this is one of the things that we discovered with how not just enough to think the positive thoughts, but how is that going to translate into specific activity, right? How is it going to translate into specific things that we can do on a daily basis, something that you can do today and right now, which is also interesting because for most people, they don't do anything, not just because they don't know what to do, but the brain can actually only get started when it has the confidence that what you're going to do has purpose. We don't do stuff if we can't see how it's attached to our values. There's no reason to do anything.
You know, building on that, I met a young man years ago who came from a very terribly impoverished part of North Philadelphia. His family was trashed. There were people in prison. There was hardly anybody to watch him. And he started on his quote-unquote path to success by getting an alarm clock, because he said that nobody in his family, going back to his grandfather, his great-grandfather, had ever had a job. So they never knew what it was like to get up and go to a job. So he started his path to success by getting an alarm clock. So again, small things that mean a lot.
You know, that's actually quite a profound idea too, because here's the thing that most people don't understand about our thoughts. Our thoughts rise to the people that we have influencing us and surrounding us. And most people call it programming. The truth is our programming, most people say, is a reflection of the families we were raised in. And to some extent, that's true. But the problem is that most people have limited themselves to that as an excuse or an escape route. They say, you know what, I was raised in a family where we didn't do this, that, and the other, so therefore I can't do it. Or met a guy the other day, he said, I was born Catholic and I'm going to die Catholic, but I have no idea what it really means. And so it's like we kind of take on these programs, if you will, of where we've been. And that's kind of a lazy excuse, because if you think about it, the truth is your programming has never formally completed. And this idea that you think that just what happened to you when you were a kid, that's who you are, is definitely not true. And the other thing with that, I think it's maybe a good way to illustrate it, is you've heard the saying that we become like the five people we spend the most time with. I want to point out that that's spend, not spent. Spend is past tense. Spend is today. And so that gentleman who got the alarm clock, for him, that's now something that he has taken into his life as an influence. It's something that he spends time with, and as a result, it's now shaped his complete future. We all need to have these reminders that, you know, within our life, we can change whatever it is that we're not happy with today. Everything is available and open for change.
Wow, Doug, what a conversation. I love this. Anything that you can say to conclude our conversation about how thoughts become things or anything else?
I would just encourage everyone to see the film. It's definitely a life-changing film. There's some really powerful support and advice in the project from many of the top thought leaders around the world. If you enjoy such films like The Secret, you will see people like Bob Proctor and John DeMartini and, you know, a lot of the usual people, Dennis Waitley, who just really got some profound lessons to share on the power of overcoming negative thinking, but also dialing into your best version of yourself when it comes to thought. So definitely make sure you see the film.
Even during a pandemic.
Absolutely. In fact, more so.